Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcote's North Parish Church. Thanks for joining us for another half hour of magic music and chirpy chatter, laced with mixed emotions and profound insights. I always think that DJs advertising their own programmes sound suspiciously close to blowing your own trumpet, as they say. And I wouldn't want to do that. In fact, I couldn't do that if I tried. I actually have a trumpet in the house, but I just can't get a toot out of it. But I know a man who can. He's a better man than me. In fact, he's my best man. He's a professional trumpeter, you see. He played a beautiful trumpet solo at our wedding reception. That was a special treat. And I'm pleased to say that David Anderson is here right now, sitting beside me in the studio, with his trumpet. So hello, David, and thanks for coming to the studio. And are you ready to give us a wee lesson in the trumpet, perhaps?
Alec, that's a nice introduction. Thanks very much. And I better introduce my friend who I've brought with me, eh? And you'll maybe recognise that as Oh Mine Papa, which was the first trumpet tune I think I ever heard when it was being played by Eddie Calvert, probably in about 1953.
53, wow.
You'll not remember that year, Alec, will you?
Oh, I'm too young, too young. But do you think of your trumpet as your friend that's accompanied you through the life then?
I've had a few trumpets in my day, and I'll tell you about one of them in just a minute. But at college, when I was learning the trumpet, my trumpet professor, Cecil Kidd, bless him, he said, "It'll win in the end." And I often wondered what he meant. Uh-huh. And he's quite right. The trumpet does win in the end. Because one day it'll catch you out. One day a valve will stick, or one day your lip will just not be quite up to playing on it. But yes, it is a friend. I've played my trumpet, or one or other of my trumpets, for about 60 years.
Have you got a name for your trumpet?
Well, this one, believe it or not, is a con. C-O-N-N. But... well, that's just a wee joke. My first trumpet was even worse sounding. And I'll tell you a secret. I got it from Humphrey Littleton in 1959.
The Humphrey Littleton.
The Humphrey Littleton.
The jazz trumpeter.
And it was a Rudi Mook, which sounds a bit rude, but that was a German maker of trumpet. Mm-hmm. And Humph came and visited me in St. Andrews when he was playing at the university graduation ball. And he came down to the house, and we played various tunes in our front room, including Summertime, by the way. Do you mind Summertime?
Oh, yes. Very nice. I don't remember Summertime weather-wise, but music-wise, yes. So, you play in a band?
I've played in various bands at various times. Currently, the Dave Anderson Big Band, based in Irvine, was based in Kilmarnock for a while, and before that was based in Stirling.
So when you say big band, you mean like...
a big band is specifically a wee bit like the Glenn Miller Orchestra, only we can't claim to be quite as good as them all the time. But yes, a big band is five saxophones, four trombones, four trumpets, piano, bass and guitar. Not to forget the drum section as well.
That's quite a lot to travel for each gig.
Yes, and it means that it's quite hard for them to be commercial, but there aren't that many commercial big bands these days.
I saw a TV programme recently saying big bands are making a bit of a comeback. Would you say that?
Yes, and we can thank things like X Factor and various of the shows on television, because some of the best presenters, starting with the likes of Parkinson and coming right up to date, have always employed a big band on their shows. And when you think of the dancing shows as well, there's some excellent big bands, Jules Holland, Joe Loss, various of these bands are fantastic.
Well, here at 3TFM, we spare no expense, so we haven't brought the Dave Anderson band today. We've just brought Dave Anderson and his trumpet. So would you like to give us a wee sample, David, of a familiar piece of music, one that many of us have trotted down the aisle to, no doubt?
I'll play this unannounced just now, and then I'm sure the listeners will be able to say what it is.
And that was, of course, The Last Post.
I don't think it was, but it wasn't compulsory that I played that, Alec. It was voluntary.
Yeah, but when they go down the aisle to get married, it might be The Last Post. That brings a tear to my glass eye as a minister, because the brides think of that tune in the aisle right enough, but I'm standing at the end of the aisle waiting on the bride coming down. So it means a lot to me too. So when did you start playing the trumpet?
We were lucky at school. From primary two onwards, you got the chance of playing any orchestral instrument. Well, when you're in primary two, you're a bit small for playing the trombone or the tuba, or the double bass for that matter. So I'd already got Eddie Calvert as my idol. I use that with inverted commas, of course. But my idol in the trumpet playing world was Eddie Calvert. And so I said to Mum, well, I'm going to learn the trumpet. And do you know, it was £2 a term for your lessons, but we got 5 lessons a week.
Oh, well.
So that was the way to start. And after a few years, as I've said to you, I ended up with this Rudy Mook trumpet from Humphrey Littleton. And then I thought I was on the way to stardom.
You weren't attracted to any other instruments?
No, not particularly. I've never particularly wanted to learn anything else. My sister, she liked Acker Bilk. She wanted to learn the clarinet. My elder sister, she was going to gym college. She had to learn the piano. But no, it was the trumpet for me.
And how did your career develop then?
As these things go, we were fortunate in having as many lessons as we did at our school. And I was put into the school orchestra before I was in long trousers and played a piece of music in the Younger Hall in St Andrews, which I'll give you a bit of later on a very long trumpet, which is called a long D trumpet. They're great fun to play, and it looks a bit like a post horn. My career then went on during secondary school, and I did higher music and was able to get into the Royal Manchester School of Music, which later on became the Northern College. After that, I went to the BBC for 3 years in Bristol and learned to be an orchestral trumpet player.
What's your pinnacle of your career then? What was, can you remember a moment that was your big highlight?
Now, I suppose that's maybe a bit difficult. In Bristol, they were opening the new cathedral in Clifton, and the orchestra was invited along to play for that. It was a professional engagement, and there's a famous double trumpet concerto by Vivaldi. And we got to play for the opening of that cathedral, the double trumpet concerto. So I could say that was something of a high.
Yeah. And have you got a favourite, I mean, it's maybe a hard question, but have you got a favourite trumpet piece?
Well, certainly one of them is my favourite, and we're about to play that and hear it on an old LP, This is an LP which was sold to me in St Andrews when I was a boy, and I really thought it was the bee's knees, or even the bumblebee's knees, as you'll hear.
Mrs. Harry James, The Flight of the Bumblebee. So David, I was saying to you, I have a trumpet in the house and it's up in the attic and I've had a shot at it and I couldn't get a toot out of it. Can you explain to myself and other listeners just a wee bit the technical side of this? How do you blow a trumpet?
Well, speaking about when I started myself, I remember that my two front teeth weren't quite in because I was only six. And that made it particularly difficult to put my lips together and blow, as you're supposed to do, with pursed lips and get this sound that you've got to get. Now, until you can do that, there's really not a lot of point in trying to put a mouthpiece against your embouchure, which is the shape that you make with your lips, and get this sound. And that sound, when you place it inside a much longer tube, and various of the brass instruments have different lengths, so the trumpet is one of the shorter ones. French horn is longer, tuba is even longer, and it's lower. Gives you... And you could hear there how that nasty buzz, that sounds a little bit like a whoopee cushion, suddenly becomes a beautiful sound.
It's very interesting, yeah.
It's a bit like learning how to preach, maybe, Alec. I don't know.
Every trade has its tricks, and I was just interested in the tricks of the trumpeter's trade.
And, of course, there are other things that you have to learn how to do. Everybody who's learning music in this country tends to have to learn some scales. And we all know about Do-Re-Mi. Well, that wasn't quite Do-Re-Mi, and this isn't quite what you'd expect either. But you would notice on that really fast piece that Harry James played, The Flight of the Bumblebee, he was getting the valves, that's these things that sound a bit like that, and rattle about to play. And he plays them so fast that it actually sounds a little bit like a bumblebee.
See, a bugle doesn't have three, does it?
That's correct. And later on, we might be hearing some bugle pieces. But the essence of a bugle is that it has no valves and can only play the natural notes. Now, the natural notes are the things that you can get if you blow down that hose from the washing machine or perhaps even from the vacuum cleaner. So you only get... And the valves are introduced to fill in the gaps.
Right, so a trumpet's a refinement of a bugle.
Or of a horn, An animal horn gives you the same thing. So when we're looking back to biblical times, we're looking at a conch, maybe a shell, or we're looking at a corno, as the French would call it, a horn. And we can be fairly sure that the trumpets, which were played in biblical times, started off as natural trumpets, something that they found they could blow through and get these funny sounds. And then when metal craft came along, they were able to get natural trumpets.
Is there something now that's evolved past the trumpet that has more than the three valves?
There's a four-valve trumpet, which is a bit of a nuisance, and it's just a refinement for tuning. But no, you don't need more than three valves, because every semitone, which is needed for our 12-tone scale, fits in with just three valves.
And sometimes you see trumpeters putting at the front of the trumpet something in to block the sound.
Well, to either block it or to enhance it, and we call them mutes. And there's as many different sorts of mute as you could almost imagine. There's a plunger, which just looks like the thing that the plumber uses without the handle on it, which gives you a wah sort of sound, a bit like this. There's a harmon mute, which sounds really tinny. There's a straight mute, there's a cup mute, there's a hat mute, and all sorts of things, just to give you that particular sound that a composer maybe wants.
That's very interesting. Well, I'd like you to play us, showing us some of the tricks of this trade then. I should say that David is quite keen on LPs and 78s, which for our younger listeners, you might need to explain what that is. But you've brought an LP of a classic piece of good trumpet playing.
Well, just explaining about LPs and 78s, most people will remember turntables. And we've got a disc jockey in the studio here who's ecstatic because he's got an LP to play with today. But very often, our young people have only seen CDs or even more modern things, which don't have to go round at all. But a 78, quite simply, went round 78 times every minute. And an LP, generally in this country, it went round at 33 and a third times a minute. And there were also things like 45s and, would you believe it, 16s. And I've also even seen a 22. 22s were used for speech recordings in the 1930s. So, is that enough of the history lesson? Would you like to hear some triple-tonguing now?
We're out here. Is this a 78 or an LP?
Well, I was just going to show you some of the things that Harry James was doing there. I've showed you the fast valve work. He can also do really fast tonguing. But if he plays his concerto, as he's about to do now on LP, you'll hear that Harry James was a master of all of these things, better than me as well.
Thank you. So you're listening to 3TFM's Holy Half Hour as we're talking to David Anderson, a professional trumpeter. You're giving us a great insight into trumpeting. Thanks for that. But could I just take the conversation in a slightly different direction now when I say that you're a Christian trumpeter? What difference does that make, one asks. So tell us a bit of, in what sense are you a Christian trumpeter? Do you play in church a lot or something?
I've played in church really quite a lot. I've played in your church, Alec. I've played in my wife's church. And even from quite early days, one of the first things that ministers in my hometown of St Andrews were quite keen for was for me to play along with hymns or sometimes to play descants at Christmas. Quite early on, one of my school music teachers, Bob Taylor, was interested enough that he said, "Oh, you can improvise, can you, David? So just improvise along to this." And because I had a good ear, in fact, I was better at improvising than sight reading, they just let me make up what was going to go with whatever they were playing, which was a bit of a responsibility, but I enjoyed doing it. In church itself, of course, with different sorts of religious music that need trumpet-type accompaniment. So you've mentioned the likes of the Last Post, which is used normally outside at remembrance services. And believe it or not, I've never played the Last Post for one of these, really because I don't like being identified with that sort of thing to do with war. But that's a personal thing. What I do like doing is playing wedding music, where sometimes you have to introduce the bride coming down the aisle, which the piece I played to begin with, the trumpet voluntary, is often used for. You'll remember that in times past, Alec, I played the Stanley trumpet tune at a certain wedding in Fraserburgh.
Yeah, my wedding.
You were maybe there.
Yeah.
Do you remember how it goes?
I remember it well, and we still have the video.
Well, you'll be able to check whether I still can play the right notes for it, because this is how it went. Do you remember that?
Yes. Well, most of the day is a big blur, but I remember you playing, yes.
Yes. There, of course, are other things that Christian trumpet players are asked to do these days, to play in praise bands. You'll maybe remember that the Graham Kendrick movement led praise marches in Scotland, in the whole of Britain. Perhaps it was in the whole of the world, I can't quite remember. And that tended to be specially written pieces, Shine, Jesus, Shine, and that sort of music. Now, times have moved on, and different bands have come to prominence. The Prom Praise Orchestra still performs, but as you hear from the various programmes on the television, songs of praise particularly, there are all sorts of different ways, and very often they involve brass instruments, sometimes with the Salvation Army Brass Band, sometimes with brass quartets, sometimes with a solo trumpet player.
Have you done outdoor Christian performance?
No, I have to think about that one a little bit.
Have you joined a Salvation Army band,
for instance? I have not played in a Salvation Army band, but I have played outside the Church of Scotland bookshop to raise money, busking. Mm-hmm. Does that count?
Oh, it counts, it counts. You haven't been mistaken for the ragman or anything like that. No. I don't know if you know this, but the words trumpet, trump or trumpeter appear in the Bible exactly 109 times. I know because I've counted them. Trumpets were used regularly in early Jewish worship with Moses and the Israelites. They were used in the capture of Jericho as the Israelites invaded the Promised Land. They were used as fanfares at the coronation of Israel's kings. They were blown as alarm systems warning of dangers and enemies. And the New Testament speaks of the last trump, at the end of the world, at the end of time, when Jesus will return in glory, and the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, and we will rise to be with Jesus in heaven, or not, as the case may be.
So you maybe
here's me speaking
that.
And you fly off the handle.
Well, I've just flown off the handle. George Frederick Handel, in fact.
The trumpet shall sound.
That is, of course, the introduction to the famous bass aria, which comes most of the way through Handel's Messiah. And it's the introduction to the trumpet shall sound. Perhaps the most famous trumpet aria that we have.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because we've chosen that to be the climax of the programme.
Well, I'm glad, because that'll be better than mine.
Oh, no, it's nice to have you live in the studio. We really appreciate you coming.
It's nice to be here.
And we wish you all the best in your future career as the Christian trumpeter. Let's finish then and play out today with Handel's The Trumpet Shall Sound.
Thank you, Alec.
Incorruptible, be raised in